This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, brand new week, Monday morning. Oh, I think we're having a bad influence on Sia, everybody. I'll explain that in a minute. Got so much to get to today. Lots of things to talk about. We played musical microphones just a moment ago, where we swapped microphones. We played circus music, and then we all sat down where we had a microphone that worked. Don't know why that microphone hates you, Leanne.
Apparently it was fine until I sat down.
It's actually all Leanne. We've worked it out.
Yeah, because it works the rest of the time.
Okay, I'm going. Bye.
Hey, how's the sleeping Jesus going?
Oh, my goodness me.
Because you bought yourself one, right?
Oh.
You're a different person.
I don't know what to say. I look forward to sleeping.
I know, and you used to dread it.
I got woken up yesterday, though, because the electricity went out. And I stopped breathing.
Yeah, we had, suddenly there was load shedding again yesterday. I don't know what that's about, but
we got load shat.
You know, here's the problem, right? Is the government have already revealed that load shedding is just a tactic that Eskom used to drain more money out of us. So now when it happens, I don't believe it's because they can't generate power. I think it's like strong-arming us into having to hand over some more money.
Well, if you think about it, Cyril said they're going to split it into three, right?
Yeah. So now
they have to show action to show that they still have something to do.
You need us, basically, is what they're saying. Anyway, we're not going to start the morning with that. The reason I said that we're having a bad influence on Sia, Ben's a very self-contained guy, doesn't need a lot in his life, got a good relationship going, but he's kind of self-sufficient.
Probably.
And Ben doesn't really like people. I mean, you don't go out of your way to socialize. You've got some friends, and you like your friends, and you like your family, but you see people when you want to see them, and you kind of have things on your terms, right?
Yes.
Is that an unfair summary?
Well, defaulting back to hanging out with my cats, yeah.
That's right. I mean, you spend a lot more time with your cats than any people.
It's pretty much the full circle, yeah.
Right. So, it's sort of like a
like
one of those old spinsters who smells like their cats eventually.
No, not really. Like I've come to realize that my relationship with my cats is actually really healthy.
Yeah, it is.
And that's not because I'm trying to justify it. It's just the greater scheme of what I do in my life. It's just a nice sort of home base.
Okay.
Completely agree. So, Leanne, no primary relationship in terms of like someone that she's living with or in love with or any of that stuff.
Except sleeping Jesus.
Except the sleeping Jesus. Also, lots of animals, but kind of happy to be on her own.
Yes.
Very self-sufficient, got a whole thing going on. I'm the same, obviously. Now, Sia tells me he went away for the weekend on his own. And he said he loved it. Now, I'm just worried that this might be because of all of us poisoning him. He used to be a much more social creature.
He's a social butterfly.
And I don't know, he does bob in and out of relationships, but he keeps those very much to himself. And he's not needy in that respect. Like, I've never seen Sia broken up into shattered glass after a relationship
doesn't
work.
He keeps things moving, which is good.
And he's got lots of exes he avoids.
So many exes.
Which just shows you, like, he's, you
and
know.
Sometimes he sexes the exes.
Yeah. But he's basically, I'd say Sia's mature beyond his years in terms of his emotional capacity.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be very empathetic. He has a deep well of feeling. But I'm just a little concerned that all of us might be having a bad influence on Sia in that we have made him more hermit.
Alone?
Like.
No. Not at all.
Okay, I don't want it to be our fault. I mean, I don't mind if you choose that.
All.
But don't let it be us.
I've been thinking about this for the longest time, and I just needed some time alone just to sit and think. Right. And I'm one of those people when a new year starts, and especially, you know, the new year rolls into my birthday.
It's the 11th of February.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, he was drunk for the first 20 days.
We're basically in December.
Yeah. And it rolls into my birthday. So I needed some time just to reflect and plan for the year ahead and have some quiet. And that's what I did this weekend.
Don't lie, you just had a lot of wine and now it's Monday.
Making love was just for fun.
I drove on.
How far you've come.
How far I've come. My goodness, yes, Leah. Yes.
Living alone, I think of all.
That's what I was actually singing over the weekend.
Yeah. Right. In a cottage in the mountains.
Curled up in a fetal position.
Right. By the way, I have no problem with your cottage in the mountains.
Yeah, can I go this weekend?
Yeah. Let's all just take a block booking for the rest of the year and swap it out weekend after
all
weekend.
All separately, with everybody. No one else.
Yeah, that's right.
I find it weird that the song makes me happy.
Yes.
So
it really does.
What did you? So you literally had this place to yourself. You were up in the mountains. You were out in the country. So you post something on Instagram of this lonely road.
Just
no
nothing.
One on it. No animals crossing it. Nothing.
Oh, amazing!
It was like the zombie apocalypse.
It was just under 2 hours out of town. And we were just speaking last week about how much I hate driving. So I really needed a lot of motivation to drive 4 hours in total over the weekend.
Motivation.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, Leanne. And rented out this little cottage on the other side of Magaliesburg and was all good and well. You know, I was in the moment at first. I arrived there in the morning on Saturday and I had my, you know, diary out and I was writing things down, and then my anxiety started to play with me.
Oh no.
Oh, Jesus.
One must take Ativan for this. Tranquilizers for the win.
I started thinking.
Leanne is your one-stop shop if you need advice on which drugs you should be taking, huh?
I started thinking about the killer and how the killer's just always around. You never know. I thought, if someone were to murder me here, how would people exactly know? So I had a no-phone rule, but I had to, like, quickly break that. I started sending people my location. Like, hey, listen, by the way, I'm having this meditation weekend, but just know that if you don't hear from me by tomorrow, here's where I am. And then I was able to, you know, try to light a fire, which was quite pathetic, which shows exactly why I shouldn't be out in the wild alone. It was like logs, and I was trying to figure it out. Eventually, I had to like dump some charcoal just to light a fire, which is horrible and sad. And then I realized I forgot my moisturizer.
Oh my God.
And so this, what was meant to be a relaxing weekend turned into
horror.
Yeah.
This is like a night serum I used to sleep with, and I didn't have it. And I swear to you, I'm not even exaggerating. I woke up on
night serum.
Yeah, it's
I don't know.
You wear it as you go to bed and you're
I got you. That's ridiculous. All right.
I'm not even exaggerating. I woke up on Sunday not able to move my face fully.
You look like the charcoal that was still on the fire.
That's how dependent my skin is to this thing. Now I look crusty, my skin can't move. I'm like, you know, it's great, let me just go and take a quick shower. I go to the bathroom. I start to open the taps, and there's just a trickle of this tiny, tiny stream of water coming out of the shower head. So I'm now kind of annoyed, like, ugh, there's not enough water pressure
here. You paid for this place. You booked it. You expect, like, there'd be water, right?
So I'm thinking, it will be fine then. Let me just go back to bed. I'll wake up later and shower. And, you know, you go back to bed and sometimes you get woken up and you aren't exactly sure what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I hear the slight hiss and I'm thinking to myself,
no,
that's odd. But at the same time, I'm thinking I'm not used to this environment. It's probably something outside. I'm not minding it. And I go back to bed slightly and I wake up again and this hiss is still going on. I finally think, okay, let me just go and try to find out what this is. I step out and close to the bathroom and I realize after I had discovered that the water pressure was soft, I didn't close the tap.
Jesus, so now, I thought you were going to say it was a snake, Sia.
No.
A hiss so in the wild.
The whole bathroom was now flooded.
Oh, no.
And was about to also start flooding my bedroom. So I'm thinking for this weekend that was meant to be all relaxing, this is actually a lot for me. So next time I'm just going to book a hotel in the middle of Sandton, get, you know, 1,000 thread count on the cotton sheets and room service.
So what did you do? Did you just sort of like leave, throw the keys in a bin somewhere and say bye?
Yeah, I had to call the front office people.
And say, like, hi, I don't know how taps work.
Yeah, it's like, hi, may I have a mop, please? And I decided to clean it up myself. It was quite a horrible ending to the weekend. But all in all, for the purpose of the weekend of just being alone, and I really do think a lot of people don't spend enough time alone, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well,
look at you.
Did you read books and stuff as well?
I brought a book that I thought I was going to start reading, but I didn't. But I actually did a lot of writing. You know, like a lot of people actually recommend that you just write down your thoughts, just to clear your head. So I did a lot of that. I did a lot of planning.
So yeah, these are all good things. Get to know yourself before you get to know anybody else. That's
right.
The way forward.
Very good.
Jeez, Uncle Ben.
But speaking of reading, I finally got into that Henry van Bredaal book halfway through.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh. How they didn't lock that guy up like 7 seconds after they found him in that house.
Really?
Ridiculous. But the guy who wrote that book, his name escapes me at the moment, is Julian somebody or other.
Mm.
It's a bit slow at times, but it's very systematic of what goes on, because all the cops were trying to do was not make any mistakes because of the history of fuck-ups that happened prior to this.
Correct. Mm.
So if it wasn't for the profile of this case or the history or whatever, it might have been wrapped up pretty quickly, but they were so diligent. They were so overly careful. They were so overly cautious about everything they did. But in doing so, it's like, how on earth did they not have the temptation just to go and arrest him?
But he was basically guilty from the beginning.
I mean, there was also, for sure.
I mean, we all said so here, remember? Have we ever been wrong?
It was so clear, especially with Crown Investigation, Gareth. But then another good point came up is that if they arrested him, he would clam up and he would talk through a lawyer. If he was seen as a witness, they could get more out of him and therefore make sure they don't make any mistakes. So when you look at that, you go, okay, that kind of makes a bit more sense. But there was all this public pressure, all this pressure around the family, wanting closure, they wanted all these different things. But at least the cops, they really kind of held firm. But it's just fascinating. Like, this child was an absolute disaster.
Really? From the beginning?
Pretty much.
Did this journalist go into his background and dig up a whole lot of stuff?
Like the family in Australia and how they sort of grew up and all that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
So
what were the telltale signs in case someone has maybe got a psychopath in their house who wants to axe murder them? Any words of advice?
He just always was a loner. You know, we started off talking about...
Oh, like Sia.
Yeah, because this is why I'm bringing it up. So, you know, they talk about the fact that he was such a loner in such a sort of effervescent and loving family. You know, he was always... like, because there's one thing about being hermit-like, like we are, mm-hmm. and there's another thing where you just look like you're stewing in your own dark thoughts.
Oh.
And this guy generally just always seemed like that. Like, he would always be the one who would just be by himself in a very weird way. Not like a kind of quirky, he's just content. He was just always on the sidelines of life. And it just didn't look good. And like, he was always... obviously, the drugs played a big part in this.
Yeah, what was he on?
What was he taking?
He was caught with marijuana in Australia. And how he wasn't deported, I have no idea.
Yeah, because in Australia, they have rules for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How you walk, where you sit.
Yeah.
What you drink.
How you look left and right.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other kids were always the popular kids in school. They, you know, when you move around like they did, like, you can't just move to Australia or come back and all these different things. But everywhere they went, they were so well loved. And then there was Henry.
Yeah.
He was just like, so always that kind of like sketchy outsider.
So he wanted to murder them.
Clearly. Well, I haven't got to the point where like actual motives come up, because we still don't even know the motive.
No,
we don't
know anything.
We're all speculating.
What drives everybody crazy?
We'll never know. And it's the same with Oscar. We won't know the true story.
Well, I think with Oscar, it's a bit simple. His ego was probably compromised, and therefore he acted out because that's the kind of person he was. Again, I'm just making that up. But
jealous down.
Yes, he might have just jealous down a bit. Whereas with Henry, I think there was a deep-seated kind of evil almost.
Jealous down.
See, like, he wasn't even jealous. He just seemed like on a different sort of wavelength to everybody.
Sure.
And how the family was just so well loved by everybody. And people always say nice things after you die, especially after you've been ex-murdered. I mean, come on, you can't exactly say something horrible. But they generally just seemed like decent people. Like, their dad was hugely successful. He was entrepreneurial. But he cared about education, and he cared about wildlife, and he cared about these things. He wasn't just some sort of greedy wanker banker. They like seemed like very cool people, very balanced people who gave back to communities and that kind of stuff. And
I wonder if they ever thought, geez, I'm scared to close my eyes in case Henry comes in with an axe.
Yeah.
They thought he was odd, didn't they? They put him into like therapy or whatever.
And also, like, I mean,
he was a bit of a nutcase.
I mean, like, he came from good means. Like, he could do whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he just sort of dropped out of university in Australia,
uh-huh.
sat in his ass in Stellenbosch when they moved here, And then there, I think there was like this big fight, basically him saying like, you know, get your life together, get sorted, do something. And otherwise, you're not really paying your way anymore.
Boy, did he do something.
And he was...
he was like suddenly very motivated.
He made something of himself, all right.
So he got up that night. He had plenty of motivation.
Yeah, so that may have been the catalyst. That may have been it. That he was just basically told, get your shit together because we're not bankrolling this pathetic life you're living.
And I believed him for a good week or two, as I did Oscar.
Really?
Yeah.
You also got an e-tag, Leanne. So, I mean, it takes a while for you to come around to most things.
You're doff with this stuff.
I am.
What made you believe him?
I just thought, shame. How could this happen to him? How awful. And also because the sister wasn't dead. So I thought, no, it must have been an attack. Otherwise, he would have made sure she was dead.
Yeah, but the fact that the sister actually survived, and they go into the detail, like the guy literally describes... The size of the axe wounds in the head.
Oh.
And he goes into how this happened, the systematic, basically, culling of this family. Mm. And how the sister survived was just absolutely, it's like such a miracle. The doctors who operated on her spoke about how the fact that there was no coming back from this. Mm. And the guy just thought, screw it, I've got nothing to lose. And he operated in a way that he didn't know what was going to happen. And she was a miracle that she's still alive.
And we don't know anything of her, or I mean, we haven't heard a thing.
No, well, they kept her. They've tried to protect her from as much of that as possible.
Because, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, she is a minor, technically.
Yeah, and she was at the time, and what she's been through, obviously, is not what anyone wants to go through. So, you know, it gets a little bit crazy, and surely for her, it's a horrible situation. She's got no one else in her family left except this murderer.
She's got her guardians, and then obviously Henry's. He's in prison. We haven't heard anything more about that.
No, and does that girlfriend still go and visit? Because Bill Cosby's family aren't even visiting him, established last week. So what are the chances she's still visiting the axe murderer?
Yeah, so if you were interested in that case, like we were, it's called the DeZalza murders, Julian Jansen.
Yeah.
Julian Jansen?
Hmm.
Call it what you will. And yes, it was a small machete almost.
Sia, you were trying to get hold of him, right?
Yes.
So we must maybe try again. Maybe now he needs to sell some more books. He'll come and talk to us. Let's see if we can get him on here. Oh, guess what happened to me?
Oh.
Very exciting. You know you're old when you talk about stuff like this.
Uh-oh.
My new mattress.
Yes, I was going towards that.
So you have your sleeping Jesus. I have mine.
Ooh.
I woke up without neck pain over the last 2 days.
Is it a memory thing?
It's just the best. It's the best. Mm. The best. I also looked forward to sleeping. I couldn't wait to get into bed. I didn't go out Friday. I didn't go out Saturday. I stayed in. I was so happy. Just me and my bed, and I got some things done. I did see the family a little bit, but otherwise that bed, I was married to it.
Oh,
like that
so
chick
good.
Who was married to her blanket that we played the other day.
Marrying her duvet, yeah.
Normal.
Yeah, I felt it was totally normal after that. I didn't want to make fun of her anymore. All right. So coming up in a little while, we'll look at what the future of the Earth is. And I don't mean this in some philosophical way. We're going to look at what actually is going to definitely happen to the Earth, not during your lifetime, but eventually, so that you don't take everything so seriously on a Monday morning. Now, it sounds depressing, but it really isn't. It's actually quite inspiring. Well, I found it so. So I'm going to tell you about that, but we'll get to that after 7, probably. Selejo's coming in to tell us what Anthea usually would, and that's because Anthea's away. Here are the 5 things you need to know this morning. First of all, you're probably already aware of this, but Eskom are implementing Stage 2 load shedding today.
Dickheads.
Eskom has announced that it will start implementing Stage 2 from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. today. This is the first time that the power utility will be load shedding in 2 months. Comes just days after the president announced plans to restructure Eskom in a bid to save the struggling power utility.
You know, these guys take struggling to a whole new level. So yesterday, Daniela saw this announcement and went onto the actual website.
Yep.
And they were saying that the website is now over capacity as people are now looking for information. If they could please stop all looking for information.
Oh. Can't even get their website.
They can't even have capacity for their website. This is how useless they are.
Jesus, that's bad. Anyway, Eskom spokesperson Kulupasiwe says that there is a shortage of capacity. There's a need to replenish the water and diesel reserves. There's always something running out here. Like, you'd think, you know, if your job is logistics, and there's someone in Eskom who's clearly in charge of logistics and supplies and operations, that person, all they have to do when they wake up in the morning is check that all the supplies are coming in. And they don't do it for that day. They plan months in advance. So you know, because water is needed at these power utilities, at these power stations. You know you need coal. You know you need diesel. You know you need these supplies. That's what you do. That's your whole job. That's why you get paid. And if you're the CEO, you say to the guy in supplies, hey, everything running okay? And he goes, yep, boss, no problem. Everything's being delivered. Okay, good, because I don't want any... No, don't worry. It's all under control. Good, good. Okay, excellent. I'm going to check tomorrow, and then I'll let you know if there's any problem in the next month. Oh, yeah, good idea. Good. Because we don't want anything embarrassing happening, like us not being able to do what we're there to do, provide electricity to people. No, don't worry, boss. We've got it under control.
That's such a good point. The fact that they can't provide electricity at any stage is such an embarrassing thing, but yet is seen as like a process?
No. See, this is the problem. If your job is to make the coffee at the office, and the one day there isn't coffee, then you've failed at your job. And you must be fired. That's how it works in the real world.
Yeah.
But at Eskom...
Accountability.
Yeah, right. I mean, remember, you can be accountable for something, but not responsible for it. In other words, if something goes wrong in a business, let's say you supplies don't arrive on time, right?
Yeah.
You're not responsible for the guys who didn't bring the coal or the diesel or the water. Mm-hmm. Because it's their responsibility to bring that stuff. That's what you asked them to do. But you're still accountable because it was your job to make sure that they did their job. Got it?
Yep.
So... nobody seems to understand this in government or in the parastatals. Because it's like, as long as the boss doesn't mind. And the people get away with this shit. Anyway, the power utilities, Jan Oberholzer, says they need to replenish their water and diesel reserves. When the demand picked up towards the end of January, they always say this, like it's at what? Suddenly at the end of January, people are like, oh, thank God, I've got more money. I'm going to spend it on electricity. Nonsense. Why would it go up at the end of January? It's not... suddenly people are putting on their heaters and it's underfloor summer. Heating yeah. And my aluminium smelter in my backyard. It's time to fire that old thing up. What is that? It's suddenly picked up towards the end of January. Don't give me that nonsense. He says, unfortunately, this is where we find ourselves today. No, it's where bad planning finds you. You can't do your job. It's time we go in there with a hatchet like Henry von Bredaar. And we clear away all the dead wood. If you are in charge of supplies, and there are no supplies, it's time for you to be fired. Thank you. It's fairly simple. I mean, put me in charge of Eskom. I swear to God, I'll clean it out. I'll chop the staff down to 300 people that you absolutely need. And we'll all make sure that everybody knows what they're there to do. And they'll do it. Otherwise, they'll be fired too. Because there are thousands and thousands of South Africans waiting to be employed.
And waiting for electricity.
Apparently Cyril has been made the African Union chairperson for the year. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares about that? That's absolutely not going to do a goddamn thing. So we'll leave it alone. Really, it's the most pointless. AU chair is like me saying, I've just been appointed boss of all internet streaming capabilities in South Africa. Hello, everybody. I'm the chairperson. I'm going to chair this meeting. Or Ben saying he's now the chairperson of sports reporting in South Africa.
Wow. Woo!
What does it mean? Nothing.
I'm the chairperson of all things bright and beautiful.
There we go. You see?
All things bright and beautiful.
No, Gareth, I get your point, but all of those things you just said actually mean a lot more than the AU.
Yeah, the AU does. More. The AU does zero. The AU sat idly by while Zimbabwe caught fire 5 or 6 times. Let's just stop pretending that the AU has any purpose whatsoever. The AU was established. You know why? Here's how, and here's why. Because the UN is too big for Africa to matter in. Because with all the love in the world, Africa's total economy makes up like, what, 2 to 4% of the whole world's economy. So the UN, when an African country stands up to talk, they kind of go, they pay it lip service. They go, Benin or Togo or Algeria.
That's when the guys go to the toilet.
Yeah, they go for a shit or whatever. And then the EU was established, and people who like the government interfering in everything i.e. statists, want an EU for Africa. So let's all band together. This is like a show of unity. It's a show of some kind of economic trading bloc, which it certainly isn't. At the foundation of the AU, when it came out of what was originally called the the Union of African, there was another name for it. There was another name, and then Gaddafi and Obasanjo and Mbeki got together and they said, let's change the name to AU, but it was essentially the Organization for African Unity. That's what it was, OAU. That was the original establishment. And since then, what have they done? I mean, remember in Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, who I could get a pair of binoculars, I could get the Hubble telescope and I wouldn't be able to find anything that Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma has done in the last year. If I hired a team of archaeologists with their little paintbrushes and toothbrushes and their little machines that blow just a bit of wind on something to reveal a fossil, they wouldn't be able to find a thing that Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma has done since she was made minister in the presidency. And the same applies for her time as chair of the AU. Why are we giving lip service to these stupid organizations? We have to pay for the AU, by the way. They have to have a place to meet. They have to have tea and... Oh, yeah, tea and biscuits. These politicians all have to fly into some place and have a summit meeting. Like, anyone gives a shit. I mean, this is like when there's a meeting on the side of the road, a bunch of homeless people decide, and they never do this because homeless people are mostly disorganized, hence the fact that they're homeless. They gather around on a street corner and kind of, okay, so what we'll do tonight is that we'll sleep under that bridge. That's kind of what the AU is. Just stop it. It's a farce. It's a joke.
How are we paying for it? Does it come out of...
Every country has to pay like a membership fee, and we all pay proportionally for the upkeep and the running of the AU.
Oh.
So whether you like it or not, you're paying for the stupid sheltered employment for politicians.
Not get that invoice here?
Yeah, you didn't get it? It came with your e-toll bill. I can't ignore this one.
So basically, tickets to Fire Festival are more purposeful than the AU.
At least with the Fire Festival, you could go. You might not get a tent or water, but you could go. I mean, when did you get invited to the AU? Huh?
Mm-mm.
And when did they do anything for you? Do you ever have anyone pitch up an AU uniform to your house and say, here's how I'm making your life better?
Yeah, I've never read a nice story and at the end it goes, this AU initiative was brought to you by the harder... Never.
All right, moving along. We ended up talking about that for a long time and I said we could ignore it.
Well, we ignored Cyril's part of it, which was the headline.
Who cares? Police have confirmed the naked body of a Durban University of Technology employee was found in his room in a campus residence this morning.
This is shocking.
True.
Goodness me, what happened there?
Dr. Yvette Taylor, 30 years old, was a member of staff and residence advisor at the university. Police say the cause of death has not yet been determined and that he had not suffered any open external wounds. Taylor's car had also been stolen and was later discovered in Umlazi. KwaZulu-Natal spokesperson Colonel Tembeka Mbele says a murder case has been opened, but no arrests have yet been made. Found naked.
Why did they have to say he was naked?
I don't know. So clearly important.
Was his name Yvette?
It's
Yvette, a man. It's E-U-V-E-T-T.
I wouldn't want people saying that about me if I'd been found naked. Just say I was found.
Leanne Moll found naked. But didn't they say this about Casper when they found him in the streets as well? Naked. Mm. It seems to be a big thing.
Well, Casper said it about himself.
Yeah.
Which is also
it's like, how does that news get out then? Especially if it doesn't have anything to do with the story yet.
Are you talking about ethical journalism? Look at you.
I know. I'm a conformist.
This is horrible. Two people were killed and five others injured when two vehicles collided at the intersection of the R304 and R312 in Cliphevel. That was yesterday afternoon. Shortly before 5 p.m., paramedics from ER24 Fire and Rescue as well as Metro Rescue attended the scene. They found two adults who were declared dead on the scene, five other occupants, three children between the ages of 18 months and 8 years. And two adults sustained injuries ranging from moderate to severe. You know, I always get chills when I think about if adults are driving and there are kids in the back and the adults get killed and these kids are in the back and look, they might have been knocked out by the crash, but what if they're conscious the whole time and then their dead parent is in the front. Can you imagine the trauma that creates? Oy, oy, oy. Anyway, the cause of the collision is not yet known, but I'm suspecting stupid driving. I mean, that's not too much to expect. And then finally, Patricia DeLille is gunning for the Western Cape Premier post.
Patricia, stop it.
Anti-pet.
It's the lowest hanging fruit.
Just stop it.
So political party Good today announced Patricia DeLille will campaign for the Western Cape Premier post. She served as Cape Town mayor for 2011, from 2011 rather, before resigning last year. After a legal battle with the Democratic Alliance, she subsequently formed her own party and now serves as its leader. Good Secretary General Brett Herron says the party's completed the premier candidate selection process for four of the provinces. And so obviously they're putting Patricia in because that's her best chance of getting an actual job in government, is to be Patricia the Premier.
Right, good
that's
luck.
That's what she wants. All right, so those are the five things you need to know today. That's quite enough from us. Cryptocurrencies. Well, Bitcoin's at $3,632. Ethereum's jumped up a little to $121, but don't get excited. That doesn't mean you're a millionaire. It means you've still got a terrible drain on your resources in terms of those prices. Are data costs killing you?
Oh, yes, they are.
How many gigs do you go through in a month, Sia?
Oh, goodness. It fluctuates. I just had to buy a 2 gig
top
just,
up.
Yeah,
that's what I'm doing all the time, is buying top
the
ups.
The 11th of Feb right now.
Well, your future is lit with a game changer from Telkom. You could become a cliffcentral.com listener, a series binger, a playlist connoisseur, and the ultimate movie buff. Access music services, TV services, games, movies, YouTube, and now even cliffcentral.com podcasts without having to use your data. Sounds too good to be true, but it is true. And you can go and check it out at cliffcentral.com. There's a step-to-step guide on how you can get lit with Telkom. You'll see the banner on our main page. Just go to cliffcentral.com. And while you're there, you might want to explore and check out some of our new series. Over to Ben. What's happening in the sport?
Right, Gareth. The big teams in the football, they're all won over the weekend. The AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am will go on to tomorrow. And Australia still being wet blankets about playing in Pakistan. The English Premier League, pretty much the biggest thing that guys talk about with other guys over more things that guys like.
Really?
Yeah. Generally, I think, across the board, no one talks or is as passionate about sport or cares as much or gets angry as much as they do with the English Premiership.
Okay.
And good for that. It's always nice to have that pinnacle that people can really sort of, you know, flock towards. So we all know that this two-horse race. Sorry, Spurs, Man United, whoever fans, but it's always going to be a two-horse race. It's Man City or it's Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Liverpool, they've had a great season so far. They really have. And look at that. They're stuck three past Bournemouth. Past Bournemouth. With absolute ease. So they were like, yeah, we got this. Then Man City's like, well, hold my very fancy beer because we're putting six past Chelsea. Take that, Liverpool. I'll see your three and I'll raise you another three against a good team, not someone shite like Bournemouth. So last week I told you that in the run-in to the title, Man City and Liverpool, they all have three tough games. They've got to play Spurs, they've got to play Man United, and they've got to play Chelsea. Well, Man City had the first of those tough games and 6-0. Aguero with another hat-trick. He now has 11 hat-tricks, which is tied with Alan Shearer as the most hat-tricks in the Premier League history of all time.
That's very impressive.
6-0.
Yeah.
Well, you got to ask, who's the goalkeeper? He's having a tough Monday. Hey, yeah. How'd it go on the weekend? Oh, 11-6. Yeah, that guy went home alone last night. Spurs, they won 3-1 against Leicester, so they still mathematically are there, thereabouts, but ultimately they're playing for third, and they'll be bloody happy with third. The race for fourth. Well, that is interesting, isn't it? Because Man United feel they will definitely get it. They beat Fulham 3-0 over the weekend, so the big team is doing well. And Arsenal, they're terrible away from home, but they beat Huddersfield Town. Then again, I think if we all put our mind to it, we'll beat Huddersfield Town. Maybe with Salah playing up front. I think he's the only one that could have talent and pace. So 2-1, Arsenal win there. And so that's your big race. I think it's going to be so interesting to see how Arsenal, Chelsea and Man United conduct themselves over the next few months, because that is the fourth place. I think Spurs will hold on. Kane will come back and everything will be okay. But Man City flexing their muscles. So they are currently top, but Liverpool do have a game in hand. And they are equal on points, but Man City has a 10-goal difference to the better. So if things tied up, no one's catching Man City because they're putting, I mean, they're dicking teams like Chelsea 6-0.
Right.
Incredibly impressive. It was another Soweto drawby over the weekend. Chiefs 1, Pirates 1. So there's that. Look at the log there. Well, Vits are still on top there. But as is always the case, you then look down the list and you go, okay, well, Sundowns are just behind, but they've got 73 games in hand. Well, actually, they've got 3 games in hand. It's not that much of a joke this time around. So yeah, Vits played 20, 37 points. Sundowns played 17, 34 points. Pirates have played 19 matches for their 33 points. And then wrapping up the top four is Cape Town City on 30, also with 19. Hmm. Interesting with the APSA Premier League. You've got to look at the games played and the points, not just the points. That's how it happens. That's their draw. That's the big appeal. There are no bigger dicks in the world right now than two Southampton fans who thought it'd be a funny idea to make plain gestures towards the Cardiff City fans over the weekend. Now, of course, Emiliano Sala sadly passed away in a tragic small aeroplane crash.
Yeah, I remember
that. Where it crashed into the seats outside of Guernsey, and his body was found last
week.
Again,
Ben, you're the only one keeping us on top of these stories.
But I mean, like, how much of a dick are you to make airplane gestures? The guy just died in the air.
Oh, that's awful.
In a crash.
Awful.
But thankfully, because England, you can't do anything without a camera on you. These dickheads, and I say that word with a fair amount of force, because, I mean, what else do you call people like this? Clearly badly raised, should have been blowjobs, and here they are making these gestures in public. The police are talking, have already given them a stern talking to, and action will be taken. Southampton themselves said this behavior is just not acceptable, and they'll be taking action against this, which is bloody right. Ban them for life, because if you ban an English football player from going to their match, they've got nothing. They've got absolutely nothing. You might as well just gag them, throw them in the back of a boot, because all these people have is to go watch live football. So therefore, act accordingly. Pretty simple, I guess. But that's just me. I'm a purist, and my parents taught me how to behave. Anyway, in cricket, well, the West Indies, they were doing so well against England, just smashing them every time out. In the third test, however, they are getting they're getting beaten quite soundly. England 277 all out in the first innings, doesn't look that great, but then West Indies were all out for 154. So England, they're currently 19 for no loss and are very much in the pound seats. Of course, no Jason Holder for the home team. He's been suspended for slow over rates. Even though the last match ended in 3 days out of the five, he's been suspended for slow over rates because rules is rules, according to the ICC. Hooray. Australia. Now, these guys used to be the hard bastards of sports. They used to be rough as a goat's knee. And they used to be the durable man's man kind of team, in a sense. Well, we all know they're a bunch of absolute wet blankets. They're either cheating or they're crying. Or they're just picking the entire Marsh family because they haven't got the balls to actually bring anyone else into the team. Either way, they have decided they will not go to Pakistan and play their 5 ODIs as scheduled. Because, well, they're just, yeah, like I said, there's a bunch of wet blankets. Pakistan, of course, have had these terrorism issues, and of course, there was a horrible incident that involved gunfire, and no one's safe, you know, you don't feel like that. But that was a while ago. Pakistan doing whatever they can in order to increase security, and obviously make cricket go back there. Like, Pakistan is one of those strange, like, anomalies within cricket. Like, they just produce all this talent, yet they never play at home. And they somehow just get these guys that come out like 17, 18, incredible hair, but also just raw talent. And they just do so much for cricket. And I think Australia, if they ever were to have the mindset of getting their heads out of their asses, they would give back to the world of cricket and maybe go on Pakistan tours. I don't know. Again, call me a purist. But now these matches will then go to the UAE, where 7 men in total might watch the matches live. No atmosphere, nothing. Ugh. Dreadful. But hey. You do you, Australia. You do you. In golf, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am was played over the weekend. Unfortunately, the weather was horrendous. There was rain, there was hail, there was wind. All kinds of things, basically, on the Monterey Peninsula where this is taking place.
Sounds delightful.
And it'll finish today, basically, a Monday finish. Phil Mickelson's currently 3 shots clear of Scott Stallings and Paul Casey. Stallings is in the clubhouse, so he will be having a few drinks right now because his job is done. Whereas Phil Mickelson, well, he's 3 ahead of Paul Casey, who's current playing partner, and they've got a couple holes to go. Can't see Phil messing this one up, so it'll be a big win for him, really. It's a big thing, because obviously he's more of a twilight of his career right now. He's always going to have a bit of a flash and dash here and there, but yeah, be a huge, huge win for him. And the 13th beach, that's what Australia call that tournament from the weekend on the European Tour. It was the...
Why do they have a different name for it from everyone else?
Well, that's just what the golf course is called. Remember we spoke about that.
Yes, that's right. Because Australia, 13th beach, it's like... It's the easiest thing for them. Just to just come up with some really nondescript, boring, middle-class number, right?
Got to keep things middle-class at all stages. It was the ISPS Handa Vic Open. They can't even say Victoria Open. I mean, Australia, what did you do with the time where you admitted Toria? What did you do with it? How essential was it to call it the Vic Open? Oh, it's middle class. Anyway, David Law. Well, he broke through. The young Scot. What a win that was. Fourth round of 66. What an absolute superstar. He came through. Big win there. And Justin Harding again. The guy from Stellenbosch. Another top 10. He finished third all by himself. Rocketing up the world rankings. And it's because he actually stopped drinking, I heard, from a reliable source. So he stopped puzzering, and look at him now. He went from, like, dicking around on the Sunshine Tour to now making top 10s in the European Tour. So, you know, booze isn't for everybody, I guess. And finally, what else have we got? Rugby, of course. Six Nations from the weekend. France were absolutely dreadful at Twickenham. England thrashing them 44-8. Italy, they seem spirited against Wales. Wales are blowing a lot of smoke up their own arse right now, and they believe that they will win the Six Nations, no problem. But they beat Italy only 26-15. And then Scotland, well, they're disappointed against Ireland. The 50-50 call's not going their way during the day. But also, they just didn't take any opportunities to hand. And Ireland winning that one 22-13, which gets their title aspirations back on track. But ultimately, I think it's been England and Wales this time around. Yep, that's it for your sport for this Monday. More with you on Wednesday. Oh, and by the way, go on to the balance.co.za today. There is a sport called kabaddi, which you just have to look at.
What is it?
Kabaddi.
What is that?
This Indian thing. I've put this write-up around it with Aussie Man reviewing it and then going to the rules of it. It's India's fastest growing sport.
Kabaddi.
It is bloody odd. So you go on to the balance.co.za right now. You can see all about it in today's feature.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Seleho, how are you? Seleho Tsatsi's here. He is our guy on the economy when Anthea is not around. And as far as I can tell, he's stealing some of Anthea's territory week by week.
That's the long-term plan.
I know. You're eventually going to take her place.
As he rubs his hands in glee.
That's right. So, first of all, it's good to see you.
Likewise.
There's lots to talk about this morning, as usual.
Yes.
Shall we start off with Sasol?
Yes.
Because I heard Eskom's biggest problem at the moment is they don't have water or diesel. I mean, these guys will find any excuse not to do their jobs.
But
Sasol, do they have some part in this?
I think Sasol have their hands full at the moment. They've got this really big chemicals project in the States that they're developing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to put into context how big it is, the market cap for the entire Sasol group is $18 billion. And the budget for this project is roughly just under $12 billion. So it's a massive project. And on Friday, they gave an update on it, and they essentially said that they're going to be over budget and it's going to be delayed. And the share ended down 6.5% on Friday, close to a 52-week low. And I think that was just investors saying, we've had enough, because it's not the first time that they've delayed or increased the budget for the project.
Sasol's a private company.
A public company.
But is government still involved there at all? Because, of course, it was originally a project of the old National Party government, the apartheid government. They wanted to turn coal into oil.
Yeah, and I think we're one of the few countries and companies that do that. But essentially, no. Now it's a
public company. But Sasol, obviously, they do lots of things besides oil now. So they're involved, as you say, in chemical projects and a whole lot of other areas. But clearly, not great on their share price at the moment.
No.
You said close to a 52-week low.
Yes. And in fairness, that big decline in the oil price at the end of last year also obviously wouldn't have helped. But this is kind of just adding on to the fire.
Okay. Sasol, now Sappi. Sappi are the paper people.
Yes. So their two major products are dissolving wood pulp, which goes into things like athletic clothing.
Oh, wow.
And then also paper, so graphics paper for newspapers, magazines, office paper, etc. Right.
They've got a very stinky factory.
I've never been.
A paper, wow. Oh, trust me. Paper factories.
I don't know why. It's just trees, but it's stinky.
Yeah, they use lots of chemicals to make that pulp that Sileh was talking about.
And essentially, both markets are under quite a bit of pressure at the moment. So they've it makes sense if you think about the paper market. We're reading less and less physical magazines, newspapers, sure, etc. So they have to keep taking out supply from that market, but demand is falling at a faster rate.
Oh, wow.
That's essentially the story.
So we eventually are going to save the trees. Do you remember when there were these huge campaigns like in the 1980s and 90s that save the Amazon, let's stop cutting down trees? Well, turns out that's where we're headed.
Yeah, but the Amazon isn't cut down for magazines, Gareth. It's cut down to put more cows there.
Yes, I know. No, that's quite right, Ben. And they do use the wood, but they're just not using it for paper anymore.
No, they use it to make pens for cows.
And then the cow farts make things a whole lot worse.
Yeah, so it's a double whammy because all that's, I guess.
All right, so what's happening with Sappi?
So the share ended the week down 7%. They've said that the next quarter is probably going to be tough, so it's not a share we would be buying at the moment. We'd probably be staying away.
Okay. I see you looking very skeptical when you say that. Okay, platinum. Isn't this a... Platinum's been up and down quite a lot lately. I mean, it's a very confusing thing for people because with the catalytic converters in cars not being as big a deal as they used to be, and all this talk of electric cars and how more and more motor manufacturers are finding ways around having to do the catalytic converters the way that they always did, platinum demand has gone down. Where are the shares for platinum miners at the moment?
Yes, so you summed it up perfectly. So the shares have had a really resurgent 2019.
Okay.
And it's not really... So platinum's been under pressure, as you say, but palladium, a related metal, it's at an all-time high at close to $1,400. And as a result of that and some other metals that are also bouncing quite hard, these shares are doing really well in 2019. So a lot of them had trading updates or production reports this week, Amplats, Implats, Northam, and Lonmin. And they're all pointing towards the fact that higher prices are now starting to come through into their income statements, and it's having a really positive effect on earnings.
Very good.
Yeah, so one example, just to probably illustrate that, is Impala Platinum or Implats. They earned R2.92 for their last 6 months. And to put into context,
R2.92, is that all they earned?
Yeah, just R2.92 for the whole company. And to put into context how big of a positive surprise or beat that was, analysts were expecting them to earn R1.88 for the full 12 months. So they've done roughly R3 in 6 months. It's a really,
is that per ounce or whatever it is?
That's per share.
Oh, per share.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the share price is roughly 44, 45 rand at the moment. Okay. It's tripled from its lows at the end of last year.
So looking good in platinum.
It looks like it. It's still a very cyclical industry. So if we go into any kind of a recession or car sales fall off, these shares will come under pressure. But at the moment, things are looking good.
Or if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's new Green Deal suddenly kicks in and we have to get rid of every single combustion engine car by 2030?
Elon Musk would be smiling if that went
through. It's ridiculous. Yeah. This woman's living in cloud cuckoo land. All right. So Implats, 8% up. Lonmin, 12% up. And Sibanye, 15% up.
Yeah, really strong moves last week.
Very good. Well, that's great news if you are an investor in any of those companies, or if you just want to see the South African economy doing well, because these miners play a huge part in our GDP, right?
Yeah, and jobs growth, which we desperately need.
Okay, what else can you tell us?
We also have...
Vale. I remember Anthea taught me about Vale the other day.
Yeah, so as we know, they had that terrible environmental disaster at the end of last month, where at the moment 157 people are confirmed dead. 200 are still unconfirmed or missing. This all stemmed from a dam that burst, a tailings dam. Vale is the biggest iron ore producer in the world. Mm-hmm. As a result of this, they were ruled by the Brazilian courts last week to shut down another one of their operations, which is going to take 30 million tons out of the market. They've also had to declare force majeure on some of their contracts. So they're saying that they can't meet their contracts. Mm-hmm. And essentially because of this terrible disaster, supply for iron ore has had to come down a bit because Vale can't meet all of its obligations.
Right.
The result of that is that iron ore prices have really surged. So they're close to $90 a ton. These are multi-year highs. And that's really driving iron ore company or mining prices higher. So the likes of Kumba Iron Ore, Essar, Anglo American, Exxaro, all of these companies are doing really well and benefiting because iron ore prices are so high.
Okay. Should we look offshore for a little bit? While we're in Brazil, we might as well look at the rest of them. Everybody's always excited by Alphabet, Google, and their associated companies, YouTube. So how are we looking there? If we were investors in Google, how would we be feeling?
Still feeling good. Still one of the best companies in the world. Their revenue grew 23% for the full 2018. Most of that's still driven by online advertising. So they have Alphabet has Google, which is essentially 99% of the business, and then they have other bits, which is stuff like self-driving cars and healthcare, but that's still very small. So Google and YouTube is still really driving the business.
Okay. I've noticed on YouTube there are a lot more ads. They now come in.
Yeah.
They come on in the middle of my viewing. Like I'll be watching a YouTube video and
ruining your viewing pleasure.
I know. 5 minutes in, there's some ad for a game, and then I'll have to skip ad and carry. It's so annoying.
It feels like they have pushed that maybe as far as I don't know how much more ad load.
If you put more ads in, I'm not going on there anymore. I promise you, I'll find other ways to get this information. So don't make illegal downloads or whatever I have to do to get away from your ads.
So one of the things they talk about in their earnings results is that they're also trying to move towards premium YouTube products. Mm-hmm. So things like YouTube Premium.
Where you could pay and then you wouldn't have to see the ads.
Exactly. You don't have to see the ads. Then you also have premium content. You have YouTube Music, which is kind of like a Spotify competitor. Okay. That's kind of where they're trying to take YouTube.
I see you can pay money to get Amy Schumer ASMR.
Really?
Amy Schumer heavy breathing. That's what that is effectively.
No, but that's where it's going.
Oh, God.
You can get specialist things like this. You're starting to see a lot more celebrities coming onto this whole YouTube channel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a trend that I've definitely noticed, a lot more celebrity channels. They pointed towards some stats for the platform itself. They said that the number of channels with over a million subscribers nearly doubled last year. The number of creators earning five or six figures grew by about 40% in 2018. So there's still a ton of growth on that actual platform. Investors were a bit disappointed by the results. The share was down 2% after market. That's only because their CapEx spending ballooned. It nearly doubled to $25 billion. That's because they're spending so much on research and development, and they move towards the cloud. They have a Google Cloud product. But I think the underlying business is still doing fine. I don't think there's much to worry about there.
Okay, very good. So let's look at... what do we got? Match Group. Aren't they the guys behind Tinder?
They are, yes. So Tinder is their flagship product. It's accounting for the majority of their growth. They had a really fantastic set of results last week. They grew their revenues by 21%. Their free cash flow nearly doubled. That was up 96%. The share has done really well since it listed. In 2018, it was up roughly 80%. In 2019, so year to date, it's nearly up 40%. And essentially, it's because they're able to continually add subscribers to Tinder mostly. But in addition to that, they have other products like Match itself, as well as OkCupid.
Okay.
We spoke about this last week.
We did. They're finally profitable.
Incredible revenue they have.
So obviously, the only one that still hasn't found out how to put this together into a revenue model is Twitter. They're still struggling with this.
Yes, and they said last week that they're going to stop disclosing their monthly active users, which is never a good sign.
Oh, because it's probably dropping.
Yeah.
All right. While we're talking about these online businesses and these companies that people play with on their phone, whether they're part of whether they're shareholders or they're just users, I had a 10-year-old in here the other day. We were doing an interview, and he was obsessed with Fortnite. So Fortnite is a game. And it just is all-consuming for some people. It's the most popular game in the world right now. Electronic Arts and Take-Two Interactive reported results. Now, this is interesting because these gaming companies have been like a sure bet for the longest time, right?
Yes, they were doing really well for the last couple of years.
But
Fortnite is starting to dent that run, essentially. And that's coming down to the fact that Fortnite is free to play, whereas most of these companies, Electronic Arts, for example, sells FIFA. That's their big franchise game. And it's still doing very well. FIFA was the top-selling console game in Europe last year. but it's just a different business
model. Is Fortnite stealing their breakfast?
It's if they're not stealing it, they're certainly taking a nibble at the moment. It's having an effect on these businesses. And if you look at Electronic Arts, for example, they pointed to their Battlefield franchise, which competes with Fortnite. It's in a similar genre. And they pointed to the fact that they decided not to release a Battle Royale mode for Battlefield, which would have competed with Fortnite. And that was one of the reasons why Battlefield came under pressure and why EA, as a result, came under pressure. Okay. Take-Two also pointed towards Fortnite as being a big hurdle.
Can you imagine if you were around in the 1990s and I said to you, this gaming thing is going to be bigger than sport, music, and movies combined? You would have said to me, nonsense. Every smart person would have said nonsense. And look at it now. Bunch of people playing games on their cell phones, and it's a major threat to companies like Electronic Arts, which have been making all the best games for years.
And you even have esports now, where people pay to watch other people play.
Yes, correct. All right, that's very, very good. It's lots to think about. Is there anything else you want to throw in?
That's all. That's all for this
very
week.
Good, Selewa. Nice to see you.
Likewise, thank you.
All right, everybody. Selewa Tsatsi and the Money Shot this morning. It is Monday. It is just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. I hope your day's off to an awesome start. We are here to look after you, and we will start into some news and some other stuff that's going on just around the corner. Stick around. Oh, that's Ben's music. I don't know why that's playing.
Shut up, Ben.
Shut up, Ben.
Yeah, I'm doing nothing here.
This is cliffcentral.com.